We're starting from Torah Yud Ches in Likutei Moharim Tanina. Rabbi Nizal says, Sakona Gedoila Lihiyos Mefursam Ulahanig Ha'olam. It's an extremely dangerous thing for a person to become publicized, to become renowned, Ulahanig Es Ha'olam, and to lead the world. Ha'olam means the world, or Ha'olam means even any type of large group of people. Not only are we referring to a situation where the person is not at all worthy, and the person attempts to put on a mantle that he's not worthy of, not only in that case where it's obvious that it's a very, very dangerous thing to do, even those who serve Hashem sincerely, Gedolei Hador, ones who are worthy of actually being genuine leaders of the generation, Yesh Aleihem Sakonois Noirois Bahanhogas Ha'olam. They have tremendous danger in leading the world. Rabbi Nizal explains what's unique about being put into such a position. What's different about a person who's in that type of a position versus an ordinary person? Rabbi Nizal explains, Ki ish poshut rochoik ma'oid shiyavar aretzicha. For an ordinary layman, there's a very remote chance that such a person would commit murder, actual murder. Afilu im enoi ish kosher, even if he's not a good person. Why? Ki ein loy taivel azeh, because a person generally doesn't have a desire for this. A person doesn't have a craving to commit murder, most normal people. Ve'afilu kishemagia chas v'shalom l'taivel kazu rachmona letzlon. And even if ever a person does feel a desire to kill, einoi bo liyodoi, generally, the opportunity doesn't present itself. V'yesh loy kamo manias l'zeh, and there are many obstacles that would stand in his way from actually carrying out such a crime. So for an ordinary person to commit murder, there's a very, very remote chance. Looking at statistics, how many people, out of all the 4 or so billion people in the world, how many commit murder? Very, very few. Vafilu im yavur, and even one who actually does commit murder, lo yavur kiim liitim rochokos, the person doesn't do it once a day or 10 times a day. It's only at very, very big intervals that he actually goes ahead and kills a person. The most famous murderer has killed 30 people, you know, in a lifetime of 70 years or something like that. Or Rachmona Litzlan, again, there are certain very unique examples, but not one who he himself, with his own bare hands, went ahead and killed people. V'koroiv shalayavah rak pa'machad kol yomov. And generally, the maximum number of people that a person who actually does commit murder ends up killing is one person in his whole life. Rabbi Nizal says, Aval, however, b'hanhoga so'ilom, when it comes to leading a group of people, ubechidushin do'eraiso shemechachin, and when it comes to those people who come up with new ideas in Torah, brand new ideas, yecholim laver mamish ganav v'noaf v'rotzeach b'chol pam b'chol rega, it's possible for a person to be classified as a thief, an adulterer, and a murderer every single minute. Rachmona Litzlan, Hashem save us from this. This is how Rabbi Nizal completes this chapter on Likutei Moharim. And what Rabbi Nizal is actually implying here, obviously, is we mentioned many times, the Gemara says, Dina de Malchusa Dina, that judgment, din, is something that's associated with kingdom, with malchus, with leadership. A leader generally has to be put in a position of judgment where he's forced to judge different situations. Especially a leader in Torah, number one, he's forced to judge the public, the people that he's dealing with. He's put into situations where he could come out passing judgment on people, and if his judgment is incorrect, Rachmona Litzlan, it's a dangerous item. Plus, Chas V'Shalom, if he's being Isaac in coming up with new ideas in Torah, if his new ideas are correct, it's excellent. If they're incorrect, with his ideas, he could actually be desecrating the Torah in an incredible way. It could actually be uprooting different laws in the Torah, not realizing it even. So Rabbi Nizal wants to alert us here that a person who's put into any position of leadership, it's a very, very sensitive item, and it's a very dangerous item. Now we know the Gemara says in Pirkei Avos, in very simple terms, Horabonus mekaberes es ba'aleho, that leadership buries those that possess it. And the Gemara is implying that, in other words, this is the general rule, that leadership is a dangerous item, it shortens a person's life, there's tremendous sakona involved in it, tremendous danger. And the fact that we're being alerted to this is to make us aware that if a person ever has to be put into such a position, they have to daven very, very hard to Hashem to be zech and not to make these type of mistakes. In other words, the fact that a person is in this type of position, let's say we take an ordinary person, if he makes a statement, there's no way in the world it's going to have as much influence as a leader. A leader can say one word and it could affect a whole public. And if, let's say, an ordinary person embarrasses somebody, it has a certain effect. If a leader goes ahead and embarrasses, he uses his power to make a statement or to embarrass somebody or to do something like that, there's no question at all that it could be much, much, much more effective. It could constitute a much greater sin than if an ordinary person is doing it. And therefore, Rabbi Nizal is making us aware of this, to know that not only is a person who's actually completely unworthy of being in such a position and he takes it on, not only is he a person who's in tremendous danger and is judged very harshly, but even one who is genuine, 100% genuine, this item of leading the people is an item of tremendous sakana. If you look in the Chumash, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the biggest tzaddik of all time, and we find that the Jews at some point in time were even able to get him upset to the extent where he said, Mamrim Heisem. He called the Jewish nation a bunch of rebels. And the Torah tells us that he was punished for this severely, where his grandson turned out to be an idol worshipper, Micha, because he accused the Jews, in a sense, incorrectly at that time, and many other instances, the fact that he wasn't zecher to enter into Eretz Yisrael, we find that Hashem looks at a leader much more severely, and Hashem is much more particular than with an ordinary individual. Halavai, Hashem should protect us. If a person ever has to be in any position of leadership, we should be zeicha to have the complete protection from Hashem, not to commit any of these types of sins, and especially when it comes to discussing Torah, when it comes to teaching Torah, Hashem should protect us from making any mistakes, from coming up with any of our own chidushim chas v'shalom. One who's unworthy of coming up with new ideas in Torah, when he goes ahead and does it, he can actually create poison. He can actually use the Torah as a poison of death. Poison is something that kills. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that the Torah is called Sam. Sam means medicine in Hebrew. Sam means poison. According to how a person is teaching Torah, his teaching of Torah could either serve as a medicine to give people strength, to give people chizuk, or his teaching of Torah could serve as a poison to kill people. We have many cases, Rahmanul Islam, of people who were turned away from Judaism, Rahmanul Islam, because of something that was said by a certain leader, something that was taught a certain way incorrectly at times. Now, it's not necessarily to be assumed in every case that it's the fault of the teacher. We know that Torah does say that a rabbi is not permitted to teach Torah to a student who is unworthy. There's a whole selection process in selecting a student before a person begins to teach him Torah. That also takes a lot of wisdom. But we see that this whole operation is a very, very delicate item and requires tremendous help from Hashem, tremendous siyata d'shmaya. Baruch Hashem. Any questions?
If I was a person, let's say the leader is in such a position, is he only eight such female?
Obviously, it seems that way. A lot of it has to do with Shimush Chachamim, unquestionably, that the whole concept of being a leader is not something, it's something where it seems 99% of the knowledge is not book knowledge, but it has to come from what a person learns with his eyes, watching true leaders of Klal Yisrael and emulating them, learning from their midos, learning from their hanhoga. In other words, Rabbi Nizal explains in other chapters in Likud Iman that there's a lot of knowledge that simply cannot be transmitted by word of mouth. It's something that you have to see and you have to be sensitive to and you have to pick up on it. And it's something that you can have a person who could learn from today till tomorrow and he won't get it. This is something that's known by many Yidden as the fifth Shulchan Aruch. There are four Shulchan Aruchs basically that discuss all the topics of Hebrew law. The fifth Shulchan Aruch is a certain element of common sense or a certain element of Yirah Shemayim. That's something that's not in the books and cannot be transmitted that way. It's a feeling or a flavor that a person gets from his Rebbe and tries to be able to use that, to incorporate that into everything he does, and that serves as a shmira. That fifth Shulchan Aruch protects the other four. And if that fifth one is bishleimus, the other four are okay. And if not, chas v'shalom, that's where the problem comes up.
You see how we're united is to have this type of right leadership by the fact to see most leaders are corrupt today.
100%. 100%. 100%. We find the Gemara says that at the time of the coming of Moshiach, it says, Penei hador kepnei hakelev. The face of the generation will be like the face of the dog. And all the commentaries point out that the face means the top, the head, the leaders, that's where the main bruch is going to be. That's where the main problem is going to be, in the corruption among the leadership. And here again, you see, once a leader is corrupt, he sets an example for thousands of people. Again, here, because of the fact that he's being looked up to and respected, if people find him being fallible or him being corrupt, they say, why in the world should I be better than him? In other words, why should I abide by the laws? If even this guy was caught stealing, or this guy is caught falsifying statements, then everybody assumes then anything goes. And that's why, again, that's all the more reason why they're in the most sensitive position. Rabbi Zal used to say that the ones who are going to be held most responsible for the catastrophe of this generation and, you know, the generations around this time are the liberal leaders. Here again, these people who are in a position of power, the congressional people or the judicial people who are in a position to lead the people correctly, to make laws the right way and to institute, you know, to show authority in a proper way, and they don't. They misuse their leadership purely to get kavod, to get honor for themselves or wealth, you know, in this ugly type of way. They're the ones who are going to be held most responsible.
Is it possible that the determination as to whether a person is a good leader or a bad leader has to do with whom he's leading and the period of time he's leading, why the reason for leading? A leader comes before people today and leads them down a path, or because of the nature of whom he's leading, the group of people whom he's leading, is not for any meaningful purpose.
That's also true. In other words, the Gemara mentions, I forget the exact story, where it says somebody was once knocking one of the leaders, so he said the leader is only as good as his generation. In other words, Yiftach b'dor k'shmul b'dor. So there's no question at all. And here again, this is part of the reason why we still are obligated to respect the valid leaders in this generation, although we know that in no way in the world can they compare to the previous leaders, to leaders of previous generations. But again, Hashem tailors the leader according to the flock that he has to lead. And many times, any inadequacies that we see in the leader are a reflection on the flock that he's leading. Because this whole concept of leader, this is an item that's emphasized very much in the concept of Kabbalah, that the word leader is unique from any other attribute. The term wisdom or strength or beauty is something that's contained in the item itself. A person is strong or a person is smart. The term leader or leadership is something that in no way comes from the person. It's something that's given, it's an authority that's delegated to the person by those who accept him as their leader. You understand? Leader must be leader over someone. If a person walks into a forest where nobody's around and says, I'm king of the forest, real loud, it's a joke. He's misusing the word. Leader means one who is accepted. It's the acceptance on the part of the others that makes you a leader. Once a person understands that, then there's no room for any personal kavod, for gloating in any way with his position of leadership, because he realizes that this item of leadership is the one item that doesn't come from you. It's nothing of yours. Your whole authority comes from them. And if at any point in time you make the mistake in misusing this authority, turning this authority against them, it's understood that that's going to turn them away from you, and they will automatically pull back. their authority and you fall, you turn to nothing. Because you made a mistake, you misunderstood the whole concept, the definition of the term leader. Is something that has nothing to do with you. It's the fact that you're accepted by others, or you're designated as a leader by Hashem, again. But in either case, it's not from the person himself. Baruch Hashem. Tori Yud Tes and Likutei Moran Tanina. This is one of the outstanding chapters in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal is going to address the topic of simplicity in religion, and how strongly he spoke out against the limud of philosophy, the study of philosophy. And this is an item which Rabbeinu Zal is not original in. There are many, many other tzaddikim, earlier tzaddikim. This is discussed in the Zohar HaKadosh, the Chido Zal. Many, many sforim discuss this point. It's discussed in the Chumash. Amalek is presented in the Torah as a philosopher. The Gemara says it, in other words, Rashi quotes this in Chumash, that his whole concept of figuring out the times, calculating, he was one who was known for his wisdom. The Pasuk says about him specifically, V'loy Yore Elikim, he was lacking in fear of Hashem. He wasn't lacking in knowledge. They were very knowledgeable. They were geniuses. But they were lacking in the simple fear of Hashem, as we're going to explain more when we get into this Torah. Rabbeinu Zal says, Iker hatachlis v'hashlemus, the main goal and completion of a Jew in this world, who rak lavoid Hashem betmimus gomor b'li shum chochmois klal. The goal, the pinnacle of success in religion, is to be able to serve Hashem with the utmost of simplicity, without any intellect, without any wiseness whatsoever, without any sharpness or cuteness, with the utmost of simplicity. Note, the Bechir Sheba Ovois, the choicest one of the forefathers of the Jews, the one who the Gemara says he represents the sun itself, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is called Ishtom. How is he presented? A simpleton. This is how the Torah praises Yaakov Avinu, that he's called, he's known for simplicity. You would think this is the biggest knock. In other words, the Torah would want to avoid saying that about any Jew, especially about the leader, the one from whom the 12 Shvatim came out from. And this is what the Torah selects as to praise him with, that he was simple. Simple doesn't mean dumb. Simple means, as we're going to explain here in this chapter. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki yesh mechakrim, there are philosophers, she'imrim, who say, she'ikar hatachlis v'ho'ilam habo, hurak lodas kol dovor kemois shehu. They believe that the main goal of a person and the main fulfillment of the concept of olam haba, of a world to come, is in getting to understand every item, getting to understand everything and in its fullest form. Kigoin leida hakoichov kemoishehu, for example, to be able to understand the stars, what their makeup is, what keeps them in their position, where they came from, where they're going to. Leida mahusoi, to know everything about it, umipnei ma oimed b'mokrim hahu, and why it happens to be in this specific position, facing this way. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, he's going to quote these books of philosophy a little bit. Rabbeinu Zal says, ki yesh maskil u'muskol v'seichel. There are three things, a maskil, a muskol, and a seichel, meaning, dahainu koyach hamaskil, there is the power of intellect, a person's intelligence, the power to understand, the one who is looking to understand, the haseichel bi'atzmai, there's the wisdom itself, the hadovor hamuskol, and the object that a person is looking to understand. In other words, there's the subject, there's the wisdom, and there's the object of the wisdom. For example, a person who's looking to understand certain stars, let's say certain information, and he's using certain knowledge that he has as an intermediary by which to look through that and to be able to use that to interpret or understand a certain object, a certain item. V'zehu hatachlis v'ho'olam habo etzlam. This is their goal and their future world. Sheyihye nase echod mehamaskil v'hamuskol v'haseichel. One of the items that's presented in these books of philosophy is that the pinnacle of achievement is when we make one out of all of these things, when we're all of these three items, when we're able to unify the object, the wisdom and the one who's looking to understand it. When we make that all one, we join it all together, we blend it all together. They spend their days on this in this world, lachkor, to delve, ulahasig, hamuskolois, and to get to understand as much philosophical wisdom as they possibly can. Shezehu hatachles etzlam, this is their main goal. Vizehu bi'atzmoy ho'ilam habo ladaitam. And this is how they picture the future world, the world to come, as just a peak of knowledge and wisdom and getting to understand anything and everything, and a blending together of the wisdom and the objects being understood and the subjects doing the understanding. Rak, it's just that Sheba'ilam Hazeh, in this world, Shemaluboshim Beguf, where we are bound, our knowledge, our intellect is contained within a body. They feel that we're not capable of enjoying the full pleasure that there is in this deep philosophical thinking. Whereas in the world to come, where people are going to be stripped of their physical form, they're going to derive tremendous pleasure from this intellectual thought. Uladatom horo'o, and according to their foul wisdom, ikar hasogas hatachlis while yidei chakirus v'chochmas chitzonius shalohem. The main achievement of success in getting to understand things is only through philosophical thought, through thinking, and applying the different wisdoms that they have of astrology and mathematics and other things, and trying to use that as the key to being able to understand all the secrets of creation and everything about the world. Avol be'emes, but Rabbi Nizal says, in truth, etzleinu, according to us, the Jewish nation, ikar hasogas hatachlis hu rak al yedei emuna u'mitzvos ma'aseis, the main achievement of success in getting to the final goal comes only through faith in Hashem and through the performance of physical mitzvahs. Lavoid Hashem al pi haTorah, to serve, for a Jew to serve Hashem through Torah, bitmimus ubepshitus, with the utmost of simplicity and sincerity. Valideze biatzmoy, and it's only through this type of serving Hashem with simplicity and with faith, zeichin lama shezeichin, that's what enables, that's what serves as a stepping stone for a person to get to the highest levels of wisdom, which are described as ayin loy ro'aso lekim zulasecho ya'aselam hakaloi, that wisdom which no eye has ever seen. In other words, a wisdom that's far above our concept of understanding. The key to getting to that is only by a Jew having shleimus ho'emuna in this world, by a Jew perfecting his faith in this world, and serving Hashem with the utmost of simplicity. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, Reishis Chochmo Yiras Hashem, the prelude to wisdom is fear of Hashem. You want to know what serves as a stepping stone to getting to understand Hashem? It's simple fear of Hashem. Sheikar Reishis Ukedimas HaChochmo, the main introduction to the wisdom and knowledge of Hashem, who rak yiras Hashem, is just simple fear of Hashem. Shetzorech lahakdim hayira lahachochma. This is a rule that's stressed throughout the Torah, that when it comes to religion, the path, the correct sequence is first faith, then understanding. First fear of Hashem, simple fear, and then trying to understand deeply. V'teida, and Rabbi Nizal says, you should know, she'ein hadovor kedaitom chas v'shon, that it's not like these philosophers say. Ki im came, because if what they were saying was true, le'yasigo hatachlis rak mesei ma'at ma'at ma'oid, the only ones who would achieve the final goal are a very, very tiny minority of people. Dahainu habale sechel philosophium. In other words, according to them, it's only a small group of maybe 10, 20 people in a generation who are these super intellectuals that are going to achieve any success in the world to come, which is ridiculous. Uma yasuk tanei ho'erech. What will these small, simple people do, she'ein lehem seichel kozeh, who don't have this deep wisdom and knowledge, lachkor chakirois, to delve deep thoughts, lodas hamaskolois, to get to understand all of this philosophical wisdom, she'heim roiv, that's the majority. The majority of people are not capable of thinking so deeply. Ve'ikor ha'olam, they are the main people that make up the world. Eich yasigu heimes hatachlis. How will they ever get to this goal? If the only way to achieve this tachlis is through deep wisdom, that seems to disqualify 99% of the world, who aren't these super deep thinkers. Avol be'emes, Rabbein Azar says, therefore, the fact is that ikar hasogas hatachlis rak al yedei tmimus daika. The only way that a person will be zeichet to achieve this deep wisdom in the future is only by conducting oneself with the utmost of simplicity in this world. Dehainu, which means, basically, yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, u'mitzvois maisius, and performing physical acts of mitzvah, bepshitus gomor, with the utmost of simplicity. Rabbein Azal says, v'zehu, this is what's alluded to in the grand finale of the Sefer Koheles. Koheles is a nickname of Shlomo HaMelech, who was the wisest of all men. And Shlomo HaMelech, in the closing statement of the Sefer Koheles, what does he say? What's the unterste Shura? What's the bottom line of the whole Sefer Koheles? He ends off by saying, Seif Dover. The bottom line is, HaKol Nishma Esho Leikim Yirei Ves Mitzvayso Shemar Ki Zeh Kol Hodom. The bottom line is, fear Hashem and follow his mitzvahs, kizeh kol hodom, because that's the whole mankind. You want to know what the whole tachlis of mankind is? It's having true fear of Hashem and performance of mitzvahs. Rabbein Azal explains, Hainu sheshloim ha'melech olav ha'shalom, King Solomon, Malamed Eisonu teaches us, she'ikar ha'sogas ha'tachlis, the main understanding, the main final goal of a Jew, shehu b'chinas seif dovor, which is another translation for this term, Seif Dovor, Hurak Alidei Tmimus Upshitus. The only way a Jew can get to that tachlis is through simplicity and sincerity. Leiros Hashem, Velishmar Mitzvayso Upshitus. To fear Hashem and to perform the mitzvahs with the utmost of simplicity. Vizehu Seif Dovor Hakoel Nishmo Esholikim Yarev Es Mitzvayso Shemur. This is why Shlomo HaMelech says, the bottom line is, meaning, how do you get to the bottom line? How do you get to the end of the line? How do you get to the pinnacle? It's through this Esholikim Yarev Es Mitzvayso Shemur. Shezehu Bechinas Tmimus Upshitus. This means simplicity and sincerity. Liyiros Hashem al Kaim Mitzvayso Be'uvda Bepshitus. To perform physical acts of mitzvah. Vizehu Shesiyim. This is why Shlomo HaMelech ends off by saying, Kizeh Kol Ha'odom. The literal translation of Kizeh Kol Hoda means that's the whole mankind. Meaning, if you want to know in one word what the whole purpose of mankind is, it's having fear of Hashem and doing mitzvahs. However, Rabbein Azal gives another interpretation of Kizeh Kol Ha'odom. Rabbein Azal says it means Kizeh Yochel Kol Odom Lekayim Lekayim Ulahasim. This is something that's available to all of mankind. That's the punchline. Meaning Ulahasim Al Yedei Zeh Satachlis. This simple fear of Hashem and simple performance of mitzvahs is something that's accessible to all. Me'achar she'ikar hu esolikim yarei. Once we understand the fact that the most important nekuda in religion is simple fear of Hashem, al korchach yochel kolodom lahasig hatachlis, then certainly every single person can get to this goal. Kizeh kolodom yochel lekayim. That's something that anybody could do. In other words, Rabbein Azal saying, one of Rabbein Azal's arguments to disqualify what they're saying is, they're saying that the only way a person will achieve success in the world to come is by striving for very, very high levels of intellect and understanding in this world. Rabbein Azal saying, if that were the key to Olam Haba, you're ruling out the very, very vast majority of people who are not necessarily capable of going that high in wisdom. And is that what Hashem would do? Hashem would disqualify the vast majority? The answer is chas v'shalom. Hashem is definitely making the tachlis available to all. How? By saying, you want to know how you get to the tachlis? Pshitus, tmimus, simplicity. It's your simplicity that's going to get you to the tachlis. Once we do that, then unquestionably it's available to all. And if a person doesn't do it, it was because he opted not to. Not because it was impossible, not because it was something that's unreachable to most. That's not the point. The point is, it's something, the key to getting to the tachlis is something that's definitely accessible to all and reachable and not that difficult to get to. Once you understand that, you see how it can include the vast majority. And anyone who doesn't include themselves, it's simply because of their own prerogative.
So what about these 10, 15 people that they think that they have the reachable path, that they think they can understand all this stuff?
Right.
So they don't have it either.
They're very mistaken, no question. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal is saying that's not what's going to get a person to the tachlis at all. What will get to the person of Tachlis is what Shlomo HaMelech, the biggest intellect, the biggest genius of all time, said, Seif Dovar. Seif Dovar means the Tachlis. How do you get to the Tachlis? Esolikim Yerevis Mitzvah Yisashmur. Fear Hashem, do His mitzvahs, you'll get to the Tachlis. That's the stepping stone to the top. The answer is, we're going to come to that in a minute, and we're going to explain it in much more detail. Rav Nosson Zal, in the Likutei Halachos on this Torah, writes this up much more clearly. He quotes some of this form. You see, in philosophy, it's not one train of thought. Each philosopher came up with his own ideology, with his own views and everything. Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal here are addressing a select group of philosophers who didn't deny completely the concept of a hisavus hanefesh, that there is a world after. In other words, there was a school of philosophy where they believed in a world to come. But their belief was that the only hashara of a person is the intellect. The body withers away. It's the mind that remains. It's the knowledge, the wisdom, the intellect. That's what they keyed in on. And that's the point that Rabbeinu Zal is addressing in this time of Likutei Moran, as you're going to see brought out much more clearly in the Likutei Halachos that we're going to quote on this. That's the specific aspect of philosophy he's addressing. For example, the Rambam Zal, one of the big tzaddikim, was steeped in philosophy. Did he believe in a world in Olam Haba? Definitely. What's his translation of the world to come? It's something like what Rabbeinu Zal is saying here. And this is what the tzaddikim blasted and lashed out at. That's not the key. The key to das is not das. The key is ve'erastich li be'emuno v'yodates Hashem. The more you humble yourself, the more you push the emuna, the more the das comes automatically. And the more a person tries to get to das through das, the more he risks that his das could be a mistaken one, as we're going to see, you know, as we're going to continue.
What's the point of the what's the whole thing that they're trying to show, that the school of philosophy wanted to unite
this
them?
The answer is, this is one of the theories, or one of the ideas that's presented in some of the books of philosophy. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal here is definitely quoting philosophical books. I don't know which author specifically he's quoting, but he's quoting ones where they presented their understanding of creation was that the whole creation can be summed up in three categories. There's the maskil, there's the muskel, and there's the sechel. And the whole tachlis habriya is to bring these together for a person to acquire wisdom, and with his wisdom, to be able to associate, to unite himself with this table. If I understand this table thoroughly enough, the table becomes a part of me. It's according to how well I understand it, that's how much it's joined to me. Just as we say, Vayeda Odom Eschavo Ishto. You understand? Das is something which attaches. You understand? The term das is called something that attaches two things. It's Meshadech, Shiduchim, Rabbeinu Zal brings the Torah Likutei Moran. Their understanding was that which is Ma'achid, that which unifies the whole creation, is Sechel. The more Sechel you have, the more you understand different elements of creation, the more you become one with them, and this is what brings out the whole beauty of the creation. And this is the Tachlis Habriya. This is how these philosophical Sforim presented. And Rabbeinu Zal here is saying that's baloney. It's just not true. That's not the tachlis. And that's not the way to get to the tachlis. The way to get to the tachlis is with pshitus and tmimus.
Just
relate in any way to the difference in learning Torah, like between Iyun and the Kiyus? Or just talking about philosophy?
This is talking about philosophy. Those Rabbeinu Zal definitely did advocate both Bekiyus and Iyun, but not Iyun in a philosophical way, Iyun in a Torah sense of the word, you understand? Not the philosophy, not the wrong type of questioning. We're gonna try to broaden this as we go along. But those Rabbeinu Zal definitely did advocate both Bekiyus and Iyun when it comes to the study of Torah, no question. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ubo emes, you should know the fact is that hu isur godol ma'oid liyos mechaker chas v'shalom. It's a very, very big sin for a Jew to be, for a person to be a philosopher chas v'shalom. V'lilmoid sifrei hachochmas chas v'shalom. And to learn their books of wisdoms, the goyim's books of wisdoms. Rak hatzadik hagodol mi'oid. It's only the very, very great tzadik who yochel lahachnis atzmoi bozeh. He's the only one who is allowed to enter into this. Lilmoid hasheva chochmois, to study the seven wisdoms. In other words, to become knowledgeable in all the different wisdoms that are available in this world, which are basically summarized by seven types of wisdoms. Rabbeinu Zal explains, what's the problem? What problem is there in studying wisdoms? In going out and studying cultures? What's the problem? Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki mi shenichnas b'toich hachochmois halolu, one who enters into these wisdoms, chas v'sholom yochoy lipol shom, can fall there. There's a potential for falling by entering into these wisdoms. How does a person fall? How does a person fall? They trip over something. Usually a fall is by tripping over something. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki yesh even negev bekol chochma v'chochma. There exists a stumbling block within every single category of wisdom. Hashem designed these chochmas in such a way that there actually is a stumbling block in every one of them. Shehi bechinas amolek. This stumbling block is referred to as amolek. Shal yedei ho'even hanegef hazeh, through this stumbling block, yecholin lipoil chas v'shalom, a person can fall. They can fall away from Hashem, meaning that the nature of these wisdoms is that by a person studying these wisdoms, many times there are doubts that develop within the person's mind, where he begins to doubt an existence of Hashem, because he's studying these wisdoms and they seem to explain things in such a way where they don't include the presence of Hashem. As a result of getting involved in these wisdoms, a lot of times a person gets tripped up and he eliminates the Hashem from his mind, from his faith. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki Amolek hoyof filozof umechaker. Amolek was a philosopher and a deep thinker. V'kofar be'ikor. And yet, he didn't believe in Hashem whatsoever. The Zohar HaKadosh says, the word Amolek is bigematria sofek, doubt, which is the exact, it's the antithesis of emunah, faith, which is the opposite of doubt. Kama Shekosav, as the Pasuk says, when Amalek came to attack the Jews, it says, Zohar es asher oslecho Amalek, baderech batzeich mitzorim, asher korcho baderech, vayizanit b'cho kolanach shalom alecho, va'atoy oyev yogeo, you were weak and tired, v'lo yorei elikim. Rabbeinu Zal says, the v'lo yorei elikim goes on Amalek. And Amalek was lacking in fear of Hashem. That was his problem. He wasn't short in wisdom. He had knowledge. That's what he attacked the Jews with. He threw questions at them because they were weak at that time. They couldn't answer his questions. And this is how he drew them away from Hashem. Dahainu shehurak noyheg al pi chochmos. Amalek represents the person who guides his life only through wisdoms. Ve'ein lo yira klal. He has no simple fear of Hashem. He has no belief in something that he doesn't understand completely. Avol hatzadik, but the great tzadik, kishenichnas beilu asheva chochmois, when he enters into these seven wisdoms, hu machzik atzmoi, he holds on, v'nishar kayem al omdoi, and he stands firm in his stand, in taking a stand, al yedei emuna, through his solid faith, bebechinas, as the pasuk says, v'tzadik be'emuna soy yichyeh, a tzadik with his faith survives. In other words, he's even able to survive in a place of sakona. Even entering into this mokaim sakona, into these wisdoms, he's able to survive. Rabbi Nezal says, Ki sheva yipoil tzaddik v'kom. The pasuk says that even when a tzaddik falls seven times, he's able to pick himself up. This means that even when a tzaddik throws himself into these seven wisdoms, which represents a stepping down, he's stepping down from the study of Torah, which represents complete purity, and he's stepping down into these seven wisdoms, which are not complete purity. It's a step down for him. Although he is yipoil, he is v'kom. He remains steadfast, firm in his place. Hainu shehat tzaddik hagodol, the great tzaddik, chaylech derech elu asheva chochmois, he passes through these seven wisdoms. And although over there it's very possible for a person to slip and to fall, through the stumbling block that's there, which is represented by the term amolek, but the tzaddik sheva yipoel v'kom, he can enter into the seven and remain steadfast through his faith. Now, interesting that Rabbi Nezal uses this term v'kom to refer to emunah. Rabbi Zal once mentioned from the Sifrei Kabbalah that it's brought, the Gemara says, that there's nothing that arouses the anger of Hashem like avodah zarah. Kol zman sheyesh avodah zarah bo'olam, charoin af bo'olam. And the two terms that are used most often to refer to anger are af and chemo. Af v'chemo, v'hu rachum yechap rovam v'lo yashchiz, v'hir bo lehoshiv apoy v'lo yor kochamosoy. May Hashem forgive us and hold back his af and his chemo. Those are two terms referring to anger. So anger comes from avodah zarah, which is the opposite of faith. Rabbi Zal once mentioned that one of the Sifrei Kabbalah says, this is why it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Loikom kemoshe novi oid. This term kom is used specifically about Moshe Rabbeinu. Kom is bigematria, this af v'chemo, showing that he was the equal opposite force to this kas that's generated through this lack of faith, through avodah zarah, which is the opposite of faith in Hashem. So this word v'kom is used specifically as a reflection on emunah, faith, which is the opposite of the charoin af that's triggered off through avodah zarah. That's what generates the kas.
What chachmas are considered the shell chachmas, and to what extent are you allowed to learn? How do they also learn?
Let's continue, and we'll get to it definitely. Rabbi Nezal says, "Vezeh sheva yipoel tzaddik v'kom soifei tevois amolek." This is why you'll observe that in this sentence, sheva yipoel tzaddik v'kom, the last letters of this sentence make up the word amolek. Shehu ho'even negef shel hasheva chochmois. He represents the stumbling block within these seven types of wisdom. She'al yodoi noiflim chas v'sholim. Through him, through that, people fall. Ach hatzadik, whereas the tzadik, sheva yipoel v'kom. He's able to knock out the seven. He's able to lower himself into the seven, v'kom. How? Al yidei emuno kanal, through his faith. V'zeh shekosuv b'moshe Rabbeinu. This is why it's written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayhi yodov emuna. That his hands were raised in faith towards Hashem. When he was battling against Amalek, the Torah tells us he went and climbed up on top of the mountain, and he raised his hands as a sign of faith to Hashem. B'melchemes Amalek, Rabbi Nezal explains, K'al yidei emuno hechlish es Amalek. What was the main power, that the thing that sustained Moshe Rabbeinu, that gave him the power to weaken Amalek? The pasuk says there, Vayachlish Yeshua es Amalek. How did they weaken Amalek? Through faith, through vayhi yodov emuna. It wasn't with wisdom that he knocked him out. It was his purity of faith that was able to be victorious over Amalek. Dahainu k'al yidei emuna hechlish es Amalek. Dahainu hachochmos v'achkiras kanal. It's with his faith that he was able to weaken this philosophy, this study of philosophy. V'zeh vayhi yodov emuna. This is why it says specifically his hands were emuna. Rabbi Nezal says yodov, the hands. What do the hands represent? Hainu bechinas mitzvois maisius. That refers to the physical mitzvois. The hands, the Gemara says, yodayim askonios. The hands represent the main tools of labor, of physical work. When it says that Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were raised in faith, it shows that the main manifestation of a person's faith in Hashem is the mitzvois maisius that he does. The physical acts of mitzvah that he does with his hands, the giving of tzedakah, the putting on of tefillah, the mitzvois maisius that involve physical action. The building of a sukkah, all of those types of mitzvahs, the taking of the dalad minim in the hands, all of those mitzvahs. Rabbi Nizal says, "Hayna b'chinas mitzvahs ma'isiyah, she'im b'chinas emunah." This refers to the mitzvahs ma'isiyahs, which are emunah. Kamei shekrasuv, as the pasuk says, "Kol mitzvahsecho emunah." That it's the mitzvahs that signify the faith of a person. Rabbi Nizal, "Shayidei emunah u'mitzvahs ma'isiyahs, she'im hepech b'chinas amolek hechli shekanal." It's through faith and physical acts of mitzvah, which are the opposite of amolik, which is just wisdom, brain power, that's how we're able to knock out the brain. We knock out the brain with the brawn. The physical act of mitzvah, the simplicity, the emunah, is the most powerful weapon in being able to defeat this wrong kind of brain, this amolik, who represents this fallible type of wisdom. Rabbi Nizal says, the emunah zu tefillah. We know that one of the most outstanding examples of faith is tefillah, prayer to Hashem. Kemoshe targem prishon betzloi. As the targum on the pasuk vayhi yodov emunah says, prishon betzloi. His hands were outstretched in tefillah, in prayer to Hashem. So the word tefillah is synonymous with emunah. Rabbi Nizal says, ki ha-tefillah mishane hateva. We know that tefillah is something which has the power to reverse nature, to reverse destiny. V'nizbatlin ha-chochmois v'ha-chakirois shehim cholken al pi ha-teva. Therefore, it's tefillah which represents that which overrides nature, which is able to knock out these philosophers whose whole wisdom is based on derech ha-teva, on nature, on the norm, on this whole concept of what's considered normal. In other words, the teva. Rabbi Nizal says, v'zehu ikar ha-tachlis etzleinu. That's our main goal. That's our epitome. That's our pinnacle. Shetihiyah hatfilo nichleles ba'achdusa yisborach. Their achdus is an achdus of uniting the seichel with the muskel, with the muskel, with the seichel. Our tachlis is uniting the one who's davening and his tefillah, and the one to whom he's davening. V'zeh ikra ha-tachlis etzleinu, shetihiyah ha-tfilo nechleles b'achdusa yisborach b'bechinas, as the pasuk says, hu tihilosecho v'hu elekecho. He is our praise, Hashem is our praise, and he is our Hashem. In other words, to bring about an achdus between the praise of Hashem and Hashem himself. In other words, to be able to pray to Hashem with such kavanah, where the person actually becomes dovuk to Hashem. He merges with Hashem, not through wisdom, but through tefillah, through absence of wisdom. Tefillah represents the simplest avoid of the person through which he's nidbak in Hashem. The word tefillah, naftulei elkim niftalti, means to become attached. That's our main attachment, not in wisdom, but in simplicity, in faith. We become nidbak to Hashem. Shehatefillah v'Hashem yisporach echad kavyochol. The tefillah and Hashem are one. V'zehu ikar hatachlis be'emes. That's the main goal. That's why the Gemara says in Brachas, Valavai sheyispalalu kol hayom kuloi. You want to know what the peak is? The peak is not Torah, it's tefillah. The peak is the absence of wisdom. The highest height is, tachlis hayadiyah is, asher loy neida. Therefore, which holiday do the Jews celebrate the complete knocking out of Amalek, of Homon Amalek, Purim? What's the main mitzvah on Purim? Chayev inish lebesumei bepuria. Every Jew is obligated to get drunk on Purim ad delo yoda, until he can't distinguish, until he can't differentiate between Orur Homon and Baruch Mordechai, meaning where his seichel, he blows his mind completely, he eliminates the seichel completely. It's the emunah that's the victory over Amalek. This ad delo yoda, that's the tachlis hayadiyah. That's the peak of Kedusha. That's why we once mentioned that the words Orur Hamon, Adelo Yoda Bein Orur Hamon Baruch Mordechai, that these words Orur Hamon are exactly Begematria. What did we say? Emuna Pshuta. I believe that that's what it was. Let's add it up. That's what it is. 407 and 95 is 502 exactly, which is Emuna Pshuta. Simple faith. That's the Tachlis. Ad Delo Yoda Bein Orur Hamon Baruch Mordechai. What's the level of Ad Delo Yoda? This Orur Hamon Baruch Mordechai. The Emuna Pshuta, that's the manifestation in the Avodah of Purim. Purim, which represents the overcoming of Hamon, who is Amalek. The defeat is through this Adela Yoda, through the Emuna, through the Pshitus and Tmimus, the simplicity. That's why all the mitzvahs of Purim are so simple. The eating, the Hamantashin and the Shalachmonis, all of these simple Avoidais Maisis, the Mishloyachmonis, with the hands, the giving over, the giving of the Shalachmonis, the Matonois La'evyoinim, again, it's Miyad Liyad, giving over, the Sudo, all of this physical Avoidah. That's the main tikkun to be able to knock out the Homon Amolek, the one who wanted to put up a tree of 50 amos high, representing the 50th degree of wisdom. He thought in Apikorsis he had reached the 50th level of wisdom, and he was going to be able to knock out Mordechai HaTzadik. And this is how we knock him out through this Adelo Yoda, through a Hizgabrus of Emuna. If possible, let's just try to include this last paragraph within the tape, then we'll take questions. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'hamechakrim v'hakoyfrim, these philosophers and these atheists, mefarshim kol haTorah kula al pi chochmos v'api kursos shelahem. They interpret the Torah through their types of wisdoms and their api kursos, their false beliefs. Shekol haTorah v'afilu mitzvos maisius haksuvim baTorah, the entire Torah and even the physical mitzvahs that are described in the Torah, mefarshim hakoyl al pi tzura v'seichel." They explain it all to be allegory. In other words, they take all the stories in the Gemara, never happened. It's all allegorical. It's all conceptual. It's all to present us concepts. There's no Isur in eating Chazer, Chas v'Shalom. It's a concept of cleanliness. Therefore, if we nowadays understand different, you know, etc., etc., Rachmon al-Islam, their wisdoms. Loimi boi maisiyas haksuvim b'Torah. Not only the stories that are written in the Torah, oimrim shehem maramzim, which they disqualify, they don't accept them as being valid or true. They say that this is simply alluding to concepts. What do you mean, splitting of the Red Sea, baloney? We don't believe in that hocus pocus, chas v'shalom. They say that this is all true. If it's part of the Torah, it must be wisdom. It represents certain concepts. In other words, they don't believe in the Torah in its simplest form. They say that it only reflects the concept that comes from it. Their wisdoms. Not only that, not only the stories do they misinterpret, even the physical acts of mitzvah that are discussed in the Torah, they explain it all, that it's all alluding to concepts of wisdom and intellect, the kifrin bipshutoi legamri, and they disqualify and ignore the simple act of mitzvah completely. That, they say, is not required, it's not obligatory. It's just we're supposed to derive the lesson, the wisdom from it, chas v'shalom. V'zehu b'chinas mashom razal. This is the explanation to a statement in the Medrash. The Medrash says, what was one of the things that Amalek used to do? The Medrash says, Shehoyo Amalek choytech milois v'zore klapi maila. Amalek used to cut off the milois of the Jews and throw them up to the sky. This is a statement in the Medrash. What does that refer to? Rabbi Nizal explains, Ki milo hi mitzvah rishayna shenitztava bo Avram Avinu shohyaroi shlam aminim. Milo was the first mitzvah ever given to a Jew, specifically to Avram Avinu, who is called in the Torah Reish Shlam Aminim, the first believer in Hashem, the first one who acquired belief in Hashem, faith, the Reish Shlam Aminim. V'amolek shu b'chinas ha-filozofim v'akoyferim, Amolek, who represents the philosophers and the atheists, who koyfer b'chol ha-mitzvois, he does not believe in all the mitzvois. What's the word? he disbelieves in all the mitzvahs. And he interprets it all purely to refer to items of intellect. No physical act of mitzvah necessary. This is what the Medrash means when it says he cut this simple mitzvah, this first mitzvah, the mitzvah which initiated all of the mitzvahs, he cuts it away and he throws it up. What does that represent? Rabbein Ezra says, Shekoif mitzvahs mila v'zorka klapi mala el hasechel. He throws it up to the mind, meaning, ki heim mefarshim hakoel rak al sichlius levad. They interpret everything in intellect. They cut away the simple act of mitzvah and they throw it up to up. Up means to the head, to the mind. They interpret everything purely as a seichel, as a wisdom. The koifrim ba'asiyos ha-mitzvahs kanal, and they deny the actual need to perform the physical act of mitzvah. Ashrei mi she'eino yodea mehem klal. Rabbein Ezra says, fortunate is the person who has no knowledge whatsoever of their wisdoms, who has not tasted from their wisdoms. The alkein. And this is why the main knocking out, the main weakening of these philosophers comes through faith, bechinas vayhi yodav emuna kanal, as we explained earlier, that the main knocking out of them is through emuna. The main hisgabrus is emuna, not yediyah, but the defaulting to emuna. Baruch Hashem. Rav Moshe Zal says, Zois ha-Torah lo shomati mipiv ha-Kodesh bi'atzmai. This chapter on Likutei Moran, I was not zeicher to hear from Rabbeinu Zal's mouth directly. I heard it from one of his students, told over by one of his students. Va'ayin b'hashmotais mizeh. And look later in the items that are written that discuss this Torah on Likutei Moran also. Baruch Hashem. Now, there's a lot of elaboration on this Torah on Likutei Halachos that's very applicable l'maisa, which in Mitzvah Shem, the next year that we have, we'll go into that and we'll see how Rav Moshe Zal discusses in more detail this wisdom of the philosophers and why and how we don't believe in it and how certain mitzvahs that we do show the exact opposite of this.
How's it different? We're taking an extreme to show Amunah and the opposite of Amunah here. What do you think about the opposite of Amunah? Someone who finds that tries to combine the Seichel with the item. So what's the difference? Doesn't it seem like the battle between Hasidim and Misnagdim? What separates a Misnagid from the category of a Chayker? If you say trying to just understand things and not to rely on tefillah.
The answer is here. The fact is that it's true. Unfortunately, there were Misnagdim who, because their emphasis was so much on Torah and understanding Hashem, they were led into the limud of philosophy, no question at all. As many philosophical books that are written by the Ramchal and others who were accepted as big Talmidei Chachamim, very learned in the world of learning, where their learning began to enter into the philosophical train of thought, the Chovas HaVavos, other svarim like that, which led into, in other words, which got involved in this philosophical level of learning, whereas on the opposite extreme we have the Hasidim, who are a takeoff from the Mikubolim, who stressed an infinitely deeper kind of wisdom that's being stressed by the other side, but the wisdom that's very, very much intertwined with Emunah, with faith. So it's never, never moving away from that yisoid of Emunah Hashem, the acknowledgement that we don't understand. In other words, constantly emphasizing and reiterating and re-reiterating that we don't understand, which in the philosophical, in the philosophical books, that's played down. There they emphasize that the mitzvah is to get to understand Hashem. That's what they highlight very much. And it's a very, very, very thin line that separates what aspect of trying to understand Hashem is considered a mitzvah and what aspect of trying to understand Hashem and trying to attach oneself through Hashem, bedafka through seichel, is a mistake. Rabbeinu Zal is emphasizing here that the main dveikus to Hashem is only through emunah, not through seichel. If a person tries to achieve it through seichel, chas v'shalom, he could blow himself out. And Rav Moshe Zal, Likutei Halachos, just to touch for a second, Rav Moshe Zal says, we know that the Gemara says that the highest form of praise of Hashem, out of all the 10 different types of praise of Hashem that are listed in Tehillim, which one is the highest one? Halleluka. The Gemara says, Halleluka is the highest one. Why? The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that this word Halleluka contains in it all the different names of Hashem. The word Halleluka actually represents Hashem. The word Halleluka itself is Bigimatria. 65 and 21 is 86. The word Halleluka is Bigimatria Elokim. The word Halleluka is actually, it has the Yud Kei Vav at the end, plus the word Hallel, which is Bigimatria Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which represents Malchus, which is the last Hey of Yud Kei Vav Kei, so that the word Halleluka is actually as though it were written Yud Kei Vav, and then the Hallel makes up the K, the last K, because the last He of Yud Kei Vav Kei stands for Malchus. One of the nicknames for Malchus is Adni, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is Gematria Hallel. This word Halleluka, which represents all the different names of Hashem, what is it? It's one of the forms of praising Hashem. So that this concept of Hu Tihilosecha, Hu Tihilosecha, V'Hu Elekecha, that it's through the praise of Hashem that we become most nichlal in Hashem. In other words, the whole concept of becoming merged with Hashem and really attaching oneself to Hashem is much more so through tefillah and through emunah than through yediyah, than through das. And this is where Rabbeinu Zal is trying to show, to draw the line, to show the separation between the philosophers versus the ma'aminim. It's where you put the emphasis most. Is the emphasis most on yediyah or on emunah? Rabbeinu Zal is emphasizing very much that the emphasis is on the emunah. In other words, always making that the stronger point.
We see also that the idea of the ma'aminim, the ones who, like the people of Rabbeinu Zal, they constantly bring gemaras and Zohar Kadosh and Tehillim and everything like that to substantiate the emunah.
Right.
The philosophers, they never bring any of this.
Exactly. In other words, by us, our whole knowledge, our whole study of Torah is to support the emunah. The tachlis is the emunah. If you recall, Rabbeinu Zal said, davenin on learning on davenin. Daven and learn and daven. In other words, what's on bottom and what's on top? The beginning is tefillah and the end is tefillah. That's the punchline. That Torah is a stepping stone to tefillah. Torah is a stepping stone to emunah in Hashem.